This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on Radio.com.
Let's make you a smarter fantasy football player. Let's make you a smarter football fan. That's why we only want to talk to the smartest guys out there that cover this game. Guys like Christopher Harris, who's doing an unbelievable job breaking down film on his YouTube channel. HarrisFootball.com. Christopher Harris, our guest now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. How you been, Chris?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, Chris, we're excited. Everybody's got their draft going on. I guess we'll start right here in Buffalo. And kind of the joke here is I think people realize it's not going to be a good season for the Buffalo Bills. But you have a running back that has been productive in LeSean McCoy. He's going to get the bulk of the carries, you would figure. He's also 30 years old, and you have this legal issue that may come back at some point. We don't know. So when you're evaluating a player like McCoy, when you know he can do things good, where would you slot him right now?
Such a hard question. I mean, so I would say under normal circumstances, even at age 30, without the off-field stuff, the potential suspension that we imagine could be coming looming, I would be loving him in the second round. I thought no drop-off last year on a team that wasn't very good, and I mean, made the playoffs, but you know, offense wasn't very good. He was still awesome, I thought, and I have no reason to expect he isn't still awesome. Has he ever really had a season that wasn't good? Like, he's had a couple injured seasons, one in Philly, one in Buffalo, where played 12 games and was meh, but he just seems like a lock for 1,200 total yards if he's out there. So he's the best thing they've got going, and I would imagine you'd be taking him in the fourth round or something because there's just so much risk.
Christopher Harris talking some fantasy football here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. We saw a flash last season for a good part of the season, and we all got excited when we saw the quarterback play out of Deshaun Watson. And Chris, I know you're high on Deshaun Watson coming out of Clemson. We saw what we saw last year, the unfortunate injury that cut it short. And now, heading into this season in the fantasy football world, Deshaun Watson comes with a hefty price tag. What are your thoughts on the Houston quarterback, where he's being selected in drafts his average draft position, and is he capable of providing that kind of value for you this season?
He's capable, for sure. I did love him. I thought he should have been the number one overall pick last year in the NFL draft. He's capable of being the QB2, which is he's being drafted as the second. So he's going before Brady, he's going before Breeze, before Newton. I think that's crazy. It's in most leagues, it's not a scarce position. So I would much rather wait and take whoever, give me Matthew Stafford in the 10th round, as opposed to paying the fourth round price on Deshaun Watson. I know what can go right because he has the cheat code for fantasy. He runs, mm-hmm. He's a running quarterback. So I totally get what could go right, but are we sure he's running? Because he had the ACL last year and he had a ton of stuff on film where, I mean, I hate to invoke the name Blake Bortles, ooh, but There were stuff on film last year where he's the one who dug himself some holes that he then threw his way out of, and that was, of course, Blake Bortles' big story, his big fantasy year. So I don't own any Deshaun Watson. I just think it's kind of bad strategy at a not scarce position to be taking an unproven commodity that high. But it certainly could pay off. I'd have to be dumb to say it couldn't.
Christopher Harris, you can follow him on Twitter, at Harris Football. Our guest here in the sports bar, 95.7 ESPN. You mentioned all the depth at quarterback. There's one guy I'm fascinated with. That's Pat Mahomes, knowing the toys around him, knowing the head coach, knowing that arm talent, seeing that highlight of the 65-yard touchdown pass over the top in Atlanta on the dime. But Chris, I'm nervous the fact that we just don't have a big enough sample size on Pat Mahomes. You watch a lot of film, obviously. What are you seeing on Mahomes?
I mean, I wish there was more film to watch. The only film I get to watch is the Denver game week 17 last year, where Denver was already checked out to Cancun. They were just waiting for their flight. So I don't know. I have a lot of extra to say. I think you framed it really, really well. Like, I don't, it's a big, big arm and a ton of weapons. And I assume there's bumpy patches ahead. There's going to be games where he doesn't look very good. And there's games where he goes bananas. And the same logic for Watson, to me, applies to Mahomes. I guess if you're in a 10-team league where there's always good stuff available on the waiver wire, and if you make a mistake at quarterback, it's cool because there's seven other guys you can pick up and they're just fine. That's fine. I think taking a Watson or a Mahomes is good strategy, that because you're looking for upside and you know you can always solve it on the waiver wire. But in a league where there's scarcity, where, you know, maybe everybody's taking two quarterbacks, or it's a deeper league and you just, you know, the best guy you're going to find on the waiver wire is Ryan Tannehill, I would be scared to be drafting Pat Mahomes where I have to take him.
Christopher Harris talking some fantasy football on the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Chris, the running back position, if you're not fortunate enough to have one of those top four picks, top five picks where you can get, you know, your Le'Veon Bell, your David Johnson, your Ezekiel Elliott, your Todd Gurley, where can we find some value? Where are there some guys that are intriguing to you? I know you've done some film study on Kenyon Drake. I'm curious as to your thoughts on a guy like Alex Collins. I mean, who out there could provide some first round value in the middle rounds?
Well, yeah, could is the key word, because if I could tell you, I'd be in Vegas right now. Yeah, I sure wouldn't be doing what I do for a living. But I'm with you. Like, who are the guys who could conceivably go higher than where they're going to get drafted? I mean, really, any of them could, because my big problem with anticipating, I'm not even willing to say the Bills are going to stink. Like, I don't know for sure. I know you guys think that. I think that's crazy. You're really close to that team. I feel like I don't have a great sense of what teams are before the season starts. So I kind of don't want to damn anyone by saying it's an unwinnable situation. So, for example, I don't know that most people think Miami's very good, but I just like what Kenyon Drake did in actual games in November and December after they traded Jay Ajayi last year. And I remember him tearing up the Patriots on a national TV game, and his first game against the Broncos, he had a long run, his first carry, really much quicker than I remember him at Alabama. I was really impressed. So if I'm looking at Drake in the fourth, to me that feels, at least, you know, I'm not going to say that's like, oh, that's crazy, he should be rated so much higher, because I know what could go wrong. The Dolphins might wind up being terrible, that would stink. But I can see that working out. I don't mind the shot on Deion Lewis, maybe in the... You know, I find I get him sometimes in the... If I can get him the sticks, I'm really happy. I know Derrick Henry's there, but that, I think, could work out where both guys are somewhat valuable, so I'd take a look at him. And I've kind of had a couple of drafts where I've cornered the market on the Browns running backs. Talk about situations that we're not sure are good. But neither one needs to be drafted as a fantasy starter. Carlos Hyde has looked very good in the preseason. He's also very injury-prone, so if you back him up with Nick Chubb, you know, you maybe inherit a decent job with Nick Chubb. And, you know, again, granted, if they're 0-16 again and the offense is that bad, then it's a terrible call. But it seems to me that the one constant in the NFL is that it changes from year to year.
Usually, Chris, the problem with the Patriots is they just have this plethora of weapons that Tom Brady could use. But if you factor in Edelman, and now not that Eric Decker was going to be any factor, but he's gone, he's out of the way, Matthew's out of the way. I guess my question being, is this the year where maybe an investment for somebody like a Gronk or somebody like a Rex Burkhead, and knowing that Michelle, we don't know, how would you assess the skill players in New England right now?
Yeah, it is kind of the rule of thumb has always been here these last 5 or 6 years, like Brady, Gronk, and then just don't give yourself a headache. Otherwise, it's right. Kind of an ice cream headache. Maybe that's this year. That's the case. I keep having Chris Hogan inside my top 30 receivers, and I think that works. But I also think in the preseason he hasn't been accentuated above all others, and maybe that's just them trying to throw it to Cordell or Patterson, force it into him a couple of times to see what he is. I feel like I know what he is. I have taken Philip Dorsett in some very late rounds, in some deeper drafts, just in the off. And I liked him a lot coming out of Miami. I thought he would actually challenge T.Y. Hilton because I thought he was as fast and maybe even shiftier, and that did not work out. And I assume it will not work out, but I don't mind taking the chance on a Brandon Cook kind of role for Philip Dorsett. But in the end, I do think it's sort of the usual suspect. Gronk in the second, I'm okay with it. I like Brady this year because he'll make plays. I'm with you. Burkhead feels like a fine investment, you know, as a flex. Sure, that's great. And then I'll take Edelman when he comes back.
Speaking of Edelman, Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com joining us in the sports bar. You know, the four-game suspension, you take him when he comes back, and you know that he'd be productive for you, especially if you're in a PPR league. In general, Chris, how are you dealing with players that are suspended? I think of Mark Ingram as the other example. Maybe in a two-quarterback league, Jameis Winston with a three-game suspension. I took Mark Ingram in one of my drafts a couple of weeks ago, and then it dawned on me. I'm like, you know what? He suspended the first 4 weeks of the season, and I think the Saints' bye week is week six. So essentially for half of the season, the guy that would be my RB2 is probably going to be absolutely worthless to me for the first half of the season.
What round did you get him in? Because right now he's going in the fourth, which is a little rich. You got him cheaper than that?
I want to say it was the fifth round.
Yeah. So that's a better value, and I think I'm closer to maybe 5-5 or maybe even 6, but if you have to take him in 4, I'm with you. I think too much could go wrong. I've been saying this so much that it probably won't happen, but because it's a easy draw, line to draw that's probably dumb. But remembering Willie Snead from last year, I mean, this time last year, Willie Snead was considered a clear flex, maybe even a wide receiver too. Michael Thomas and Willie Snead would both be terrific. He was an impending free agent, but it was all going to be okay. He gets suspended. When he comes back off the suspension, they've sort of forgotten about him, and at the end of the year, he's a restricted free agent, and he's gone. So, and Ingram's a free agent at the end of this year. I have some concern that they kind of never come back to him, but it's just dot connecting. That might be stupid. You know, I did a thing on our podcast for the swing players of 2018, and that's the player that I don't know how it's going to go, but one way or the other, they're going to swing your league. You're going to win it or lose it based on that guy. And I think you just did it with Mark Ingram. He's the ultimate swing player because if he comes back and does what he did last year, he's a top five running back. He's awesome. He scores touchdowns and, of course, he could be completely eliminated from the game plan.
Anything on a player coming back from a PED suspension? I mean, let's face it. He got popped for performance-enhancing drugs, and if he comes back not on the PEDs, is he less of a player? Have you seen that happen in the past?
You know, I don't. I think people have done research where it hasn't been conclusive. There are some people up, some people down, to where I don't think anybody's been able to say, oh, for sure, when you come off of that particular substance, that means you can expect more or less production. So I don't think I go that far, but as far as an organization trusting a free agent to be, who's maybe not always been, on the same page with the coach, at least publicly, mm-hmm. I consider the Edelman return to be a little bit more warm embrace because he's going to be there as opposed to Ingram. I think there's a potential for a little more of a cold shoulder.
Hmm. Chris Harris joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at HarrisFootball, our guest in the sports bar, 95.7 ESPN. In regards to the tight end position, we talked a little bit about Gronk. Is there such a gap? You've been doing this now for years and years and years, and I just can't imagine there being a bigger gap between one position to the next. In other words, a tight end one and a tight end two. Am I on to something there, Chris, or is that is there more value later on, would you say? Is there wisdom in waiting for a tight end in your draft?
I don't mind taking Gronk. I don't. It sort of defines the rest of your team because you're just going to be weaker almost everywhere else. It's just the nature of the beast. I think, again, if we're dealing with like a 10-team league that's, you feel like you're on the ball and maybe some of your league mates aren't, and you can fill in with a lot of pretty interesting players along the way, then I don't even hesitate to take Gronk. But even in a deeper league, I think it works for exactly what you're saying. I mean, he's just, as long as he's healthy, he's as lock gets for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, and you can't say that about anybody else. I like Kelce, and I think Kelce is the only, maybe the distance between Gronk and Kelce is a little narrower now, and the Kelce and everyone else is maybe a little bigger, but if I'm not going to take Gronk in the second round, or maybe even Kelce in the third, or I prefer fourth, then absolutely I'm going to wait, because I don't find it's sort of like they're kickers, there's just not a lot of difference in terms of their end production, so I'm going to wait and take David Njoku in the 11th George Kittle in the 12th. You know, I feel like there's enough. I know, you know, some leagues maybe there won't be quarterbacks on the waiver wire, but I can guarantee you they're going to be tight ends on almost every league's waiver wire. So if it doesn't work out, that's cool. We'll wind up finding the guy somewhere along the way.
You can enjoy his work at harrisfootball.com. We're joined by Christopher Harris in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, I'm curious. What I love about this time of year is we have the chance to talk to many fantasy experts, yourself included, and we get all of their bold prediction for the season, the upcoming season. It's a brand new frontier. Everybody is staking their claim and planting their flag, and I'm curious as to what yours is for the 2018 season, Chris.
Oh, I don't know. Do I have a bold, like a specific bold prediction? I'm going to say Tyreek Hill does it again, repeats. That's not bold. Everybody thinks that's going to happen. What else can I say?
Did you see the play against Atlanta? Because that play, wow, yeah. That he had to slow down. Did you see it, Chris?
Yeah, I did. I mean, so I guess the bold call is just that I'm taking him in the second round, and the market hasn't even caught up to that, even after seeing that play. So I've sort of been in the tank for Tyreek. I'll say Joe Mixon. I mean, I have Mixon inside my top 10 fantasy running backs, acknowledging absolutely, of course, anybody who owned him last year wants to throw their radio or their listening device out the window right now because he wasn't good and the result wasn't good and the Bengals weren't good and it could wind up really looking stupid. But the good stuff for me on film with Mixon is just so good. I did a video, you mentioned the YouTube channel, I did a video, I called him Le'Veon Jr. There's so many mannerisms as a runner that he has that remind me of Le'Veon Bell, from lateral quickness at that size to north-south explosiveness to patience upon patience upon patience. He's another one of those running backs who stands there and pats the back of his offensive lineman waiting for the hole to develop. So I'm you know, if you took Joe Mixon early second round, mid second round, I feel good about it. And, you know, so, okay, I'll say my bold prediction is Joe Mixon, top five running back by the end.
Wow. Ooh. I like that. That is a bold prediction, Chris.
Yeah. Well, if you watched him against Buffalo last week, you would say that too. Christopher Harris joining us. People writing in questions. Let's take one from Chris here. What about Jimmy Graham? What do you say about an old face in a new place? I mean, the Packers actually went out and spent a little bit of money, and I remember Jimmy Graham from the Saints. I would want that Jimmy Graham, not the Jimmy Graham from Seattle. How does it play out there in Green Bay? I mean, how do you see the targets getting divvied out with the Packers there, Chris?
Yeah, the issue is that he really wasn't the same player last year. And that's another one I did like a side-by-side film breakdown on YouTube about and went back and tried to find plays that were sort of equivalents of, remember him with the Saints hurtling over guys, and then I found a play with Seattle last year where he tried to hurtle over a guy and like, couldn't. And, you know, used to slam dunk over the goalposts, and I'm not sure he can do that anymore. Like, it's the torn patellar tendon that he got a few years ago. He's sort of a different player. And I think what you're betting on with Green Bay, it can still work out. I mean, you guys are savvy. You know what this path is. It's Rodgers throwing it to him in the red zone. We've already seen it in the preseason. But if I have to rely on touchdowns, it's scary to be paying, whatever, a fifth-round pick because, that you know, it strikes me that's Mercedes Lewis territory. You know, if we put – Mercedes Lewis actually is on the Packers. But remember his one big touchdown season with Jacksonville many years ago. Everybody decided Mercedes Lewis was good, and it turned out he just caught a bunch of passes in the red zone. And what if that just doesn't happen? Because I don't know. You know, last year with the Seahawks, Graham had 600 or 700 yards receiving. He's just not the same guy. So you're betting on touchdowns. It's not a bet I feel great about. I still think he's clearly a fantasy starter, but maybe in draft a little rich for my blood.
Chris, you're always gracious with your time joining us here in the Sports Bar. I wanted to make sure you had the floor for plenty of time to let everybody know, drive people to where they can see more of the great content that you're pushing out for fantasy football and beyond.
Well, thanks. Yeah, just harrisfootball.com is cool. Everything is linked to from there. I do a podcast every day. I do a podcast every single weekday, and I'm going to do one again tomorrow so people can listen to that. And I do have this new YouTube channel where what's cool is I'm breaking down game film. So you don't have to watch my face too much. A little bit at the beginning. I think I'm contractually obligated to have my dumb face in the beginning, but then it's mostly just game film. And, you know, as the season starts, a lot of what I do on the podcast is breaking down film, but you can't see what I'm talking about. And so now, hopefully on this YouTube thing, you can.
Chris, Awesome having you on. Appreciate your time, and you know, good luck with all your teams this year.
Thank you, guys. You too, and thank you for having me back on. I really appreciate it, and I'll be glad to come on anytime.
Love it. Love talking to you, Chris. Appreciate it. Best of luck this season. Christopher Harris, one of the best. HarrisFootball.com. If you want to see some of the really some really good film breakdowns of the players that you're looking to draft, the players that you're going to be rooting for all season in your fantasy teams. We enjoyed his work for many years at ESPN Fantasy, and now he's done he's building his own fantasy football empire. I love seeing it.
Mixon, he's on to something, because Mixon, you remember his story. He would have been a first round pick without question. And now, I mean, Giovanni Bernard's still hanging around in Cincinnati. That's an afterthought. You want to look for a guy who's going to get the bulk of the carries, but you don't have to pay that first round price.
Well, the Bills were able to stop him in week 3 of the preseason, so I think that all but guarantees Joe Mixon has a breakout year this year, yes. If you missed any of that conversation with Chris Harris, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com, where you can also hear our conversation from last hour, our Bills conversation with Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter, and our sister station WGR. Again, ESPNRochester.com, the site for all of that. NFL appetizers on the way. Lots of signings going on throughout the NFL. Names that you don't know and names that you probably won't remember or won't know after week 4 of the preseason. But we'll get into some of the bigger stories from around the NFL today. NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
We got stories from the Redskins. Also, remember Chantrell Henderson? Yeah, he's back in the news. We'll tell you what that's all about.
All right, NFL appetizers next on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester has the Buffalo Bills covered.
McCarron takes the snap. They'll run it this time. Marcus Murphy finds a crease. Heads to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Third down now. Third and 4 at the Carolina 28. The snap. Empty backfield. Peterman going to go to the end zone again. This time it was caught by Benjamin at the 10. Heads into the end zone. Touchdown! Calvin Benjamin. Throw. Looks right, looks left, bounced around, and sacked. Brought down by Horrible Harry. Harrison Phillips sacks him back at the 20-yard line. And Josh Allen throws into the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. What a strike. What a strike thrown by Josh Allen to Ray McCloud. Josh Allen is on the scoreboard.
You can expect to hear from the biggest names with the best insight for the entire Buffalo Bills season. The Bills live on Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.